Once again, thank you for being here. As I mentioned earlier, we are in the midst of a message series. It's a series that we are calling Better Together because we believe that those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, yeah, we can try to do this whole isolation thing. We can try to just be Christians on our own, but that's not what Christ designed for us. We're supposed to be a community. We are better together. And that's the absolute truth. As you make your way through the New Testament, it is an inescapable fact. We are meant to live in community with one another. And so as we started out in part one of this series, we looked at a passage from 1 Thessalonians, and there Paul tells us that we are, as a collective, as a community, we are to encourage one another, we are to build one another up. And Paul keeps referring to us as brothers and sisters. And why does he do that? Why do we keep seeing this terminology all throughout the New Testament? We're brothers and sisters, we're brothers and sisters, we're brothers. Why do we keep seeing that? Well, it's because those of us who believers, who are believers, we are brothers and sisters because we have the same dad. That's how siblings work. We have the same father, Father God, and so we are brothers and sisters. And so when you have a brother or a sister, you've got that person's back. You defend that person. And it's very difficult, if not impossible, to defend someone that you don't know, someone who is a stranger to you. And so look at you all. You're so polite this morning. You're sitting and you're facing me and you're all being quiet, nodding. Isn't that great? I love that. You're so polite, yes, but you're not intermingling. You're not talking to each other, right? That type of thing happens elsewhere, maybe after the service ends. This type of thing of actually people sitting around together and speaking and getting to know each other, that happens in small group settings. And so thank you so much for doing this. But we have to get to know each other as a church if we're going to treat one another as brothers and sisters, right? Do I have that wrong? Is my logic flawed there? We need to get to know one another. That's a big reason why we offer small groups during the school year. Yes, we want to learn the Bible. Yes, we want to be equipped with certain tools to make us better and equipped as evangelists in this world. Yes, there's all sorts of reasons we have small groups. But a main one is, yeah, let's just give people an opportunity to get to know one another so we can develop that sense of a brotherhood and a sisterhood. Friends, I am not demanding that you become best friends with everybody in this room right now. I'm just asking that you give the Holy Spirit room to do what the Holy Spirit does. Connect people together. Build those relationships. And so as we've made our way through this series, we've talked about the importance of this brotherhood and this sisterhood. We've talked about some of the reasons why people kind of resist this idea of community. In part two, we talked about the mess that exists in other people's lives and how it's so difficult just to keep our own lives tidy. And here I am, I'm a believer. There's certain things I'm supposed to do, certain things I'm not supposed to do. I just want to keep my own life clean. The last thing I want is to have to deal with somebody else's mess. Well, guess what? It's inescapable. It's unavoidable. If we're going to live in community with one another, we're going to have to take on one another's burdens. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's exactly how it should be. And in a church community, in a Christian community, sometimes you're the shoulder that gets cried on, and sometimes you're crying on somebody else's shoulder, and sometimes that's literal. That's what it means. We've got each other's backs. We carry one another's burdens. As we continue to make our way through this series, we talked about the importance. I mean, Christ has called us to serve Him, to do things for Him, and our doing of things for Jesus does not impact our salvation. We are saved by what He has done for us, but yet we are called to do things for Him, that to fulfill our God-given purpose here in this world. And whatever it is that we as individuals can do for Jesus, guess what? We can do a lot more in community when we do this together. And so whatever kind of ground you could cover on your own, we can cover a lot more ground together. And so, yes, we are called to serve Jesus, but as a community. Last week, we started in on this topic of removing the plank from our own eyes. And some of you were here last week, some of you listened online, and this was a challenging thing because last week I talked to you about one of these benefits of living in community that doesn't sound like a benefit or maybe doesn't feel like a benefit at first. We talked about the benefit of accountability. Remember that from last Sunday? Accountability. Yeah, it's a good thing. And yet we shy away from it because we feel like, I just want my freedom. You know, that's what I want. I want freedom. And accountability seems to get in the way of me doing what I want and living the way I want. And within Christian community, within Christianity, there are some people that remove themselves from community so I can just want to live out my faith my own way. I don't want any guidance. I don't want anybody telling me you're doing it wrong or helping me along the way. I'm just going to live out my faith my own way. Leave me alone. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. When we choose that path, we don't get closer in our walk with Jesus. We drift further and further and further away. We need to live in community with one another. And so last Sunday, we started on this topic of how important it is if we're going to help guide one another as a body of believers, as a community of believers. The first thing that we need to do is remove the plank out of our own eyes so that we can become capable of seeing clearly to help our brothers and sisters remove the specks out of our eyes, out of their eyes. That's how this works, right? And so our first priority is plank removal so we can see clearly, and then we can help our brothers and sisters see clearly and identify where they can get nudged back onto the right path with Jesus. Something we have to identify. And so these are the words that Jesus used. This is the way of thinking that Jesus gives to us, this idea of we got this plank in our own eye, we got to remove that, and then we can help our brothers and sisters. And yet, so many of us human beings, and unfortunately, so many of us Christians, have this awesome ability to look past the plank and just start criticizing other people. Jesus asked the rhetorical question, why do you do that? Why do you do that? Well, we do it because it's easier to focus on what other people are doing wrong than to look inside. Say, well, where is it that I've strayed? Where is my heart not aligned with the heart of God? Where is my behavior not aligned with what God wants for me? You know, where is my thinking, my belief system? Where does it not align with Scripture? I don't want to deal with this plank. I'm just going to tell other people what they need to do. Friends, you probably already know that across the country, all kinds of churches are shrinking and closing and shutting their doors. Why is this? Well, I'll tell you one reason. Too many churches are filled with people walking around with planks in their eyes trying to tell other people how to live, right? That's one of the most repulsive things about Christianity, is someone just being judgmental towards us. There's a difference, isn't there, between accountability and being condemned, right? I don't want to be condemned by somebody else whose life is a mess. I don't want to walk into a church space just so they can tell me what I'm doing wrong. Meanwhile, they're doing all this other stuff that's wrong and displeases God. Their hearts are far from God, and yet they're going to tell me how to live. I don't want to be condemned by people, but I might be open to accountability if I can see that the person who is giving me this advice, who is giving me those gentle words of correction, if I can see that that person is genuine in their own faith, is sincere in their following of Jesus, and if I can see that this person really has my best interest in mind, then you know what? I might be open to receiving some accountability from that individual. Just a few weeks ago, I had a friend with us in worship, Dolph Lario. He'll be speaking next month. He'll give the message, and Dolph works with a ministry organization called Netzer, and he has this very difficult job, a job that I would never want. He is someone that ministers to pastors, okay? Do you know how difficult pastors are to minister to? Can you even imagine trying to guide and lead a pastor? Anyway, he has this difficult job, and so he was with us in worship. And after worship, he gave me a little bit of feedback, a little bit of input on the worship service, which I should have been expecting, but I wasn't. I should have been expecting he might have some thoughts to share with me. I'm glad that I wasn't expecting that in advance. That may have made me nervous up here. I'm like, oh my goodness, we've got a professional in our midst. What's he going to say? I didn't really think about that. So God protected me from that. Anyway, he gives me a little bit of feedback after worship, and he has several very positive, affirming things to say. But there's one comment he made that really stuck out. He said, you know what? Everybody that I interacted with today was just so friendly, was just so nice. And I jokingly said back, well, the people who are mean and nasty, we ask to leave, right? And I was kind of joking around, but there's an element of truth to that. If somebody wants to connect with us and they have kind of a nasty attitude or they're kind of mean and they're just not like, they don't want to interact, okay, that's going to be corrected and nudged and challenged in the right direction, yes? Let's be open to meeting people. Let's be friendly. Okay, well, I'm an introvert. I don't want to be friendly. Well, I'm an introvert too. We do our best, yes? And so one of the things that I have to do as the pastor of this church is if I catch people walking around with a big old plank sticking out of their eye that they refuse to address, it's my job to say, hey, you want to take care of this before you go judging and condemning other people. Because we don't do that in this church. We're not tolerant of that. We're all sinners in this together. Yes? And so for those of you who are newer to our church, right, and maybe this is something in your past where you used to have this attitude where I'm going to look past the plank and I'm going to tell other people how to live their lives. I'm not going to worry about how to live my own life. I'm not open to being led or corrected in my own life, but I'm going to tell other people how to live their lives. If that's you or if that was you, just know that that needs to change now, yes? That attitude needs to change, or eventually you'll end up changing your church. Is that fair to say? Because that's how it is. This needs to be addressed. Some of us in this room, in fact, probably a lot of us, have had negative experiences with Christian people. And so often we go back and think, well, what was the cause of that negative experience? Well, in a lot of cases, it's somebody who had a plank in their own eye trying to tell us how to live. Somebody who is being condemning, someone who is being judgmental in that sense. Who wants to be a part of that? You know, as I said, there's a difference between being judged and being held accountable. Being held accountable, we might be open to, but being judged, being condemned, nobody wants that. Take a look at this passage that's in your bulletin. And for those of you who've been paying close attention over the past couple weeks, this passage should sound familiar because we read basically the same thing last Sunday. And so these words of Jesus are so important, we're going to run it back again. Look at what Jesus has to say here. We're in the Sermon on the Mountain. He asked that question, why do you look for the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You, what's the word? Hypocrite. You hypocrite. In one word, this is the thing that drives so many people away from church life and away from Christianity. Just there's so many hypocrites in there. We got to get rid of this. I mean, if you don't, Jesus said it. You got to take care of this. And by the way, when Jesus says, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you can help other people, there's two ways to think about this. One is, okay, I've got a to-do list. Number one, take the plank out of my own eye. Check. Number two is help other people. All right, let's move on to that. That's one way to think about it, and that's fine. Here's the other way to think about this. Jesus is saying, your number one priority as believers is perpetually to make sure that plank is not in your own eye. That's number one always. That's your number one priority before you go and try to help somebody else. Number one priority, how am I doing? How am I doing here? How can you say, let me take the speck out of your own eye when the whole time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye and then you will see clearly. Then you'll have a perspective where you're able to help other people. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Just keep this in mind. You know, sometimes we Christians shy away from helping our brothers and sisters in the faith because we want to say, you know what, it's just not my business, or I don't want to come across as being judgmental, so I'm not going to help. I see somebody doing something foolish or sinful or dangerous, or I see someone with a heart that doesn't align with the heart of God. I don't want to speak up because it's not my place. Jesus doesn't say that. He says, no, you can speak up. No, this is your place, but before you do speak up, just make sure that plank is out of your eye. And once that's out of your eye, you'll be able to see clearly. You will be able to help your brothers and sisters who are straying from the will of God. Now, verse 6, if you're following along in the bulletin there, I debated on whether or not we should include this verse because it takes us onto a slightly different topic, but here it is. And so Jesus has explained this dynamic, okay? You are not to be judgmental, but you are to guide one another. But before you can guide somebody else, you need to take the plank of your own eye. And so he's talking about this whole thing of guiding, leading, correcting one another. And then he says this, do not give dogs what is sacred. What are you talking about, Jesus? Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. What are we talking about dogs and pigs for all of a sudden here? Well, here's what Jesus is saying. you might be in possession of godly wisdom. You might be able to see where someone else has a speck in their eye or perhaps even a plank. You might be able to identify it and help that person get back on the right track. But if that person is not open to your help, there's nothing you can do to help them. Isn't that the case? Think about this. You know, my go-to example is like when you see a friend or a family member heading down the path of like a bad relationship or romantic relationship, right? Because often it's so easy for other people to see this is not a good idea, and the person who's in it, well, they're in love, or at least they think they do. Is like, well, I just, you know, I want to make sure you're out of that. But if that person is not open to hearing from you, they're not going to receive that advice. And this is just, I mean, it's the universal truth. You can't help someone who refuses your help. How difficult this is for so many of us. How difficult this is for me. How many times I think, if I could just sit down with this person, if they would just hear me out. I mean, if they would just let me have an opportunity to make my case for why they should make, if they would just let me open the Bible, if they would just sit down with me. How vain and how prideful of me to feel that way. Because if someone is not open to hearing from me or from you, there's nothing you could say. There's no argument you can make that they'll listen to. So Jesus says, yes, you're supposed to be about this work. Take the plank out of your own eye. Then you can be helpful to other people. If you encounter someone that does not want your help, there's nothing you can do. In the same way, Jesus said that he came into this world for the sinners, not the righteous. Jesus said, I have not come here to take care of the healthy, but to take care of the sick. Jesus looked at the religious establishment and said, well, I'm not here. If you're living righteously, or at least you think you are, well, then there's nothing I can do for you. That's such a troubling sentiment from Jesus. I mean, why would he say that? Isn't Jesus for everyone? And in reality, he is. But if someone is so convinced that what they're doing is right or righteous, it's like, okay, even Jesus said, if you're not willing to listen to me, then what can I say to you? If you're not going to accept my leading, then there's no way I can lead you. If that was true for Jesus, how much more is this the case for us? So be careful out there, friends. Jesus doesn't say, well, you're not allowed to take the specks out of other people's eyes. No. He just says, be careful in doing it. First remove the plank, and then you have to test the waters. Is this person welcome? Are they open to receive something from me? Because if not, I will always be limited. This is sad, but important truth for us to embrace and recognize. And so here we are in this church, in this world, in this modern day and age. Here we are, this collective of sinners saved by the grace of God. Here we are being positioned to help one another, taking the planks out of our own eyes, helping each other remove the specks out of our eyes. But so many of us, again, so many of us withdraw from community. Many reasons why we withdraw from community. Here's one more. Sometimes Christian people withdraw from community. I don't want anybody addressing the plank. I don't even want anybody addressing the specks in my eyes. Sometimes we withdraw from community because we as individuals have arrived upon certain beliefs that can only be maintained in isolation. Or we've landed upon certain conclusions that we can't really defend if we had a conversation. But we've landed upon certain conclusions, and we have to maintain them, and the only way to maintain them is in isolation. I can't let anybody else input, or else they'll expose the flaws in my logic. They'll expose the flaws in my lifestyle. And some people, you know, self-identifying as Christians, will hold on to these behaviors that do not align with God's will, but they'll hold on to them. But in order to hold on to them, they have to isolate. I can only maintain these behaviors in isolation. Therefore, I reject community. Do you know what type of thing I'm talking about? Does this make sense to anybody here? It's like I'm here, but I can't actually open myself up to this. I don't want the specks removed. I want to hold on to those specks in my eyes. I want to keep living the way that I do. And I don't want to be exposed to my brothers and sisters. I want to keep living this way. I want to maintain this attitude. I want to hold on to my sins. Therefore, I retreat away from community. it is easier for me to point the finger at other people and say, man, I see other people doing this so often. Retreating from community because they just want to live out their faith their own way. They don't want the specks removed. But then I have to look inward. Where do I do this? And that's what I'm encouraging you to do today, to look inward. You know, maybe you're in a place right now in your walk with the Lord where it's like, you know what? I don't have any planks in my eyes. Praise God. There's no major things I'm looking past, and I've met with brothers and sisters in the faith, and I don't have any planks. Fantastic. Do you have any specks of sawdust in your eye? Are there little ways that you're just a little few degrees off from God's will for your life? Have you seen this thing in math, this example of, okay, you've got parallel lines, right? Anybody know math here? I'm not great at math. Parallel lines, right? Does this fall under geometry? Parallel lines will continue on going straight parallel forever. As long as they're truly parallel, they will never cross, they will never deviate, they will go straight forever, right? That's how a line works. Is that correct? Do I have that right? But if there's just a few degrees off, you know, at first it doesn't look that bad, but eventually over time you get further and further and further away. Here's what I'm saying, friends. These tiny specks in our eyes, if they are left unaddressed, they will grow into planks. Be open to that speck removal, because if you keep it in your eye for long enough, if you keep this sin issue, this heart issue, whatever, this behavior issue, if you keep it in your life for long enough, it will grow into a plank. And speck removal, as painful as it is a lot less painful than plank removal. Agreed? So here's what I'm asking you to do right here and right now. I am asking you, I am challenging you to make a plan for September, to plan to get yourself into one of our small groups. Youth group Sunday evening, women's group Monday night, prayer group Tuesday evening, adult Bible study Wednesday night for everybody, men's group Thursday night. Take advantage of one of these opportunities to get in community with your brothers and your sisters. Show up there. And I can't promise you there won't be any awkward moments, because there might be. And I can't promise you that when you go in there, you're not going to have to listen to anybody else struggle or complain or cry, because you might. And I can't promise you that if you show up in that space for long enough, nobody's going to try to remove a speck from your eye, because they will. What I'm challenging you to do is to be open to speck removal for your own sake, so that speck does not turn into a plank. And friends, I've said this before and I'll say it again, I'm not legalistic about this whole community thing. It's not like a mandate, you must be involved in an officially church-sanctioned small group, and if you're not, you're not in community. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying we make these small groups available so you have the opportunity to connect with our community and get to know your brothers and sisters. So make the plan right now. I'm going to do this in the fall. I'm going to connect with these people. I'm going to get to know some of my brothers and sisters. I'm going to make myself open to that speck removal for my own sake, so that that speck does not turn into a plank. As a church, we will continue as a community of brothers and sisters to encourage and support one another. And in order to do that, we need to see clearly. In order to see clearly, we need to remove the planks and the specks. Yes? So let's continue to be that church that's more than just friendly, more than just a nice group of people. Let's be the church that truly wants what's best for one another. Let's live into our destiny and become a community of brothers and sisters. Amen? Please stand with me as you are able as we end the worship service in prayer. Holy Spirit, right here, right now, you have permission to show us the planks in our eyes, to reveal to us the specks of sawdust that might be in there. Father God, give us a desire to follow you as closely as humanly possible. Father God, let nothing get in our way of our vision, being able to see clearly of what you want for our lives, what you want for this community, what you want for this world. Father God, give us an openness to community. Father God, protect us from the temptation of retreating into isolation. Protect us from that. And Father God, let your will be done within this, your congregation. Let us grow closer and closer into that community. Let us become that family of brothers and sisters. Father, again, we thank you for blessing us with this time, this worship service. And now that this service is coming to its close, we pray that you would allow our worship of you to continue. Father God, let us worship you with our lives. Let us worship you by the way we love and serve one another and the way we love and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.